Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome to Wildcast Studios for another episode of the Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats, presented by Alpha's Appliance Solution. Right now, till March 27th, they got the Whirlpool Saver the Savings event. Purchase any two qualifying Whirlpool major kitchen appliances. Save $150 from now till March 27th. As always, Fanisters, I am your host, Adam Lund, and I am joined by your favorite co-hoster who is back from his scouting trip, Mr. Jeremy Boucher. How was the scouting trip, bud?
Scouting trip was very good. Yeah. Had a couple players that caught my eye, so I'll be reporting to the Hockey Operations Department of the Moncton Wildcats to let them know.
Perfect, and we are going to touch base on that a little bit later in the show, but... other than that, how was your week? How was the food? Did you get extra pickles in your burger at this establishment or what?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did. Yeah. I did this time. Yeah, I didn't go for any burgers this week. I wasn't feeling the burgers. Yeah. What are you trying to do, man?
Just move closer.
Get your mic out of my face.
I don't know.
There was obviously a lot more selection of food this time around.
Right.
I went for a classic footlong sub on Monday, and then I went to the local supermarket on a Tuesday and got the chicken tenders and fries from the deli
for like $8, $9.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then
honey
the ones
or
on the buffalo.
Buffalo sauce.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like the heat.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
Wednesday. What did I do? I actually went to a fancy pub on Wednesday.
What?
Yeah, a little fancy pub, and went to town on my $75 budget for food per day. I had like wings and some mother clucker sandwich, it was pretty good. And then the day after that, I found a local watering hole that was doing a steak night.
Ooh!
So it was $9 a steak. So of course I had two. So two steaks with grilled mushrooms, grilled onions, loaded baked potato. And for dessert, deep-fried Mars bar.
Ooh, how was that?
Once again, I used my $75 very wisely.
Yeah.
And the meal was actually very good.
Yeah. That sounds like something you pick up at the Calgary Stampede is a deep-fried Mars bar, or deep-fried ice cream, or deep-fried whatever they want to put in.
Mm-hmm.
They deep-fry. That sounds like a much better weekend than, or week, I guess, than myself and Layla had. Not a whole lot going on. She got sick. A couple weeks ago, as we said, she caught the COVID during the week, so she was just basically out of commission. I was kind of on my own. But found out Sunday that you can spend as much at McDonald's as you can at our good friends Kelsey's. $45 for two quarter pounders. One was a meal, and then I just got one by myself. And she got a chicken sandwich and allegedly six nuggets, but ended up getting four. But two meals... and a couple add-ons. It was $45
at McDonald's. Oh yeah, it's not cheap. Ever since they've done those massive renovations, where it's all like, oh, we'll bring you the food to the table. You know, they're like, now you're paying for an experience.
No. I want to pay for cheap food. If I want an experience, I'll go to the CAG. I'll go to Kelsey's. I'll go to Sports Rock. I'll go somewhere. If I'm paying for an experience, if I'm not paying for an experience, I want. Like, we were driving the other day, and it was, like, the two deals. It was, like, the McRib and the quarter pounder or something. It was, like, $6.49 for the deal. I'm, like, remember when that was, like, $2.99?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we pretty much going to stop eating at Wendy's. I don't know if that's a thing up here in Canada, but this inflated pricing or dynamic pricing. I'm sorry, guys. Fast food is not like an airline ticket. Like, there's no need. There's absolutely no need to be sending that out because I'm not spending more. It's already enough to spend there, but I'm not going to get a cheeseburger. And then they're like, that'll be $17 for the burger. Nope, I'll come back in a couple hours if I go back. So, Wendy's, if you bring that to Canada, you are off my list because that is – you want to complain about food at the Avenir. That is a slippery slope when you start looking at fast food joints.
Yeah, haven't eaten McDonald's in a while, but I just know, like, you order on Skip the Dishes, and it's so elevated. I know it's elevated because you got to pay service fees and delivery fees, but still, like, you can it's like $12.99 now for a Big Mac meal, when it used to be like literally $5.99 for a Big Mac meal.
Yeah.
That's a $7 increase. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
I mean, it's ludicrous how much it is right now.
Yeah, and it's not going down, everyone. But yeah, it's just it's crazy. I guess that's why they don't want you to eat there. They want you to eat healthy. Mm. Yeah. Okay.
You don't make friends with salad. You don't make friends with salad.
No, but like Stephane Paquette up in the booth always says. At Sports Rock giveaway, he just wants one person when they say, "What's
one
your favorite
to
thing?"
One person say salad.
Yeah, what's your one favorite thing at the Sports Rock?
Salad.
Just one person to go salad. That's all we're looking for. We've had some burgers, we've had some ice cream. We're looking for salad. That's the answer. That's the answer that we're looking for. As you can see, I'm wearing my Mike Evans jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Big day Monday as he re-signed when he was looking to test free agency, and all the idiots of other teams thought he was going to leave the Bucks. He's going to be a Buck for life, which A, makes me very happy because I would throw up seeing him break the 1,000 yards in any other jersey, and B, we're looking to go down there for a game this year, so nice. I'm just glad we could see him. That's why I got the old Mike Evans in the middle of hockey season as opposed to the regular hoodie. But
I'm wearing the Bancroft Rockhounds,
yeah,
who took a leave of absence from the league this year because they couldn't find enough billets.
Oh,
so
that's tough.
Yeah, tough
billets,
break.
Billets are the backbone.
The announcement was made a day before training camp.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Players are already in town and everything.
Oh, how do you not just double them up or put them up in a hotel or something?
Well, it's Bancroft. Not much there.
Mm. I guess that's true. All right. As always, don't forget, you can follow us on all the social medias. Twitter, Moncton Wildcast, Instagram Wildcast Podcast, TikTok Wildcast Podcast, which is where I got my craving for McDonald's because we saw a stitch of some person taking junior cheeseburgers, putting it in a bread loaf with like cheese in between them.
Oh, yeah.
And then putting fries on top of that. Well, then putting ketchup and mustard on top of that. Then putting more cheese, melted cheese on top of that. And then she pulls it. Instead of cutting it like sideways to get everything. Oh, yeah. And the lady that stitches it is hilarious. Instead of cutting it like this way so you get a piece of everything. She's like, oh, the best part is when you cut it this way. So the loaf pan's this way. She's going to cut it this way for those on YouTube. The best part is when you pick it up, you can cut and get a full burger. Or I could just go get a cheeseburger. But watching that, I'm like, God, now I want a cheeseburger and fries from McDonald's. So, yeah, it's just one of those terrible TikTok things where you really hope that it's not real. And, of course, you can like and subscribe here on the YouTube. Don't forget to click the little bell to be notified for the podcast post games as well as when these shows come out. We got a quick question, Mr. Boucher. It comes in from one of our fan listeners, Michelle Varenson. Here's the question.
Hi, Adam and Jeremy of the podcast. I just wanted to send along this question. Maybe you guys can answer for me. Just wondering, will the Wildcats hold on to home ice advantage, or which is the best matchup for the Wildcats in round one? Thanks. Have a great day.
Thanks, Michelle.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Well, I felt worse about holding on to home ice advantage about a week and a half ago. Mm. Right now, I do feel pretty good. I mean, we got a four-point lead on Rimouski and a six-point lead on Chicoutimi for that. So I feel good about holding it three, which is where we want to be. I've given up on number two unless Halifax loses out and we win out. And obviously the two games we have against them are monumental if we even want a shot at catching them.
That's true.
But I feel like they're going to hold on to the number three spot. And then I'll give my best matchup for them. What do you got? You think they'll feel good about them holding on?
I think the ball's in their court. You know, we got two games in hand on Rimouski.
Yeah.
That's likely going to be Wednesday against St. John for one. And I think there's a
Thursday, one more Thursday one maybe.
Is there a back-to-back?
No, there's next Thursday.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That might be the next one.
You know, they control their own destiny if they want to finish in third. You know, Heptich said it a few weeks ago to us. You know, they got to take care of their own business and, you know, not rely on others. And, you know, it was, you're seeing all these teams, you know, posting their, we're in. Well, I mean, you're in because you got help.
Yeah.
You know, I've always thought you can't clinch a playoff spot without a win. And I've always thought about that, and I was like, you know what? It's silly. Why are these teams celebrating, you know, clinching a playoff spot, you know, after a loss?
Like, it's team, just because they weren't playing or team won.
Yeah, it's a, you should only be able to clinch a playoff spot with a win. But for me, it's you know, it's I think the first round is going to be tough. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very tough matchup, whether it's, you know, whether it's Cape Breton or Rimouski even or Chicoutimi.
Yeah.
Those are three tough teams.
Could even be Bathurst. Bathurst is only 4 points behind Cape Breton right now. So
imagine if Bathurst would have held on in regulation on Sunday against Cape Breton.
Yeah.
Instead of blowing it.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd be 2 points back.
Yeah. That would be a different ball game. But
it's nice that all the divisional games in this month, and including this
are
Wednesday
meaningful?
Against St. John, are meaningful because St. John's got... Like, I was talking about the schedule last week and how wouldn't it be cool to have Rimouski here or Chicoutimi and have those playoff. Well, every single game on the homestand, or not on the homestand, in the month of March has meaning to it, including St. John, who's trying to battle with Quebec, which it looks like neither one of those teams wants to travel to Drummondville. And I don't blame them, but every matchup is worth something in this month.
It's a nice change.
I think for me, in terms of the best matchup, man, they all have their own faults. I mean, Rimouski's going to be a tough building in there. It's a smaller building. We split the season series with them. It's a tough building. Chicoutimi's got the big ice. You know, it's going to be a 2-3-2. Cape Breton, they've got a big physical team. I think it's Bathurst for me because you can line match that one line and focus on taking care of that one line. I think for me that might be the better matchup if we can get Bathurst. I think you can line match, and Dan can line match to, because I think if you play Cape Breton, you're looking exactly like we did against Baie-Comeau, where they're going to pound us into the boards, and we hope to have a full roster going up against Halifax if Halifax gets to the next round. But yeah, I think for me you can line match with Bathurst, take out that number one line, and let your depth take over, and I think that's a little bit more of a favorable matchup than the Big Ice and Chicoutimi or Cape Breton.
See, for me, I think it would be Chicoutimi for me. We have a mobile team,
yeah.
Right? I don't think the Big Ice is going to be an issue in Chicoutimi. I mean, we've got, you know, Moran on the back end can skate. Boutin can skate. Plandowski can skate. We've seen that. And we've got Loshin can skate. Yeah. You know, these guys, Mueller's can skate. These guys all have... I don't think Big Ice is going to bother them. Sump is used to it. Mueller's used to it.
That's true.
You know, it's, and I think maybe Rimouski's, I don't want to call them inexperience, but, you know, they got 4 16-year-olds on their roster, and that's, what, a fifth of a team?
In Rimouski?
Sorry, Chicoutimi.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fifth of a team.
Yeah,
you know, it's going to be an inexperienced group going into the playoffs, and it's a different vibe. So for me, I think it's Chicoutimi.
I think either way, you look at Bathurst with Dwyer, Cape Breton with Robitaille, Chicoutimi with Yannick Jean, and Rimouski with... Who's Rimouski have? Like, they all got good coaches that can adapt their style to take away our assets. Mm. Like we talk about taking the one line away in Bathurst or using our speed. I think they can coach towards taking what we do away, and if teams are disciplined in the playoffs, it takes away our power play, which takes away momentum. I think for the fans and for the Wildcats ticket office, I think Cape Breton would be their more favorable matchup.
Oh, 100%, because you can
get,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know if the Bathurst fans are going to travel, but I think if you get Cape Breton here, I think they are looking for that to have Cape Breton in round one and potentially Halifax in round two, your own division. Yeah, you're tired of playing your own division again with two straight games, but I think if the Wildcats box office is hoping, they're hoping for Cape Breton.
Yeah, I think if you want a coach that's going to provide some entertainment, I think you got to go with Mean Gene. You know, Mean Yannick Gene.
Oh yeah,
Mean Gene.
Yeah, I was envisioning a bald guy, and I'm like, which one of the coaches is bald?
Mean Yannick Gene.
Yeah,
and. Because he's known to have a little bit of a flair for the dramatic when it comes to referee calls, and you know that's always something that fans like to grab a hold of. So I like a Chicoutimi matchup just based on, you know, their age, and you know, yeah, Remy De La Fontaine could possibly steal a series, but I also think the experience that we got from last year's playoffs will come in handy.
Yeah, the coach in Rimouski is Joel Pearl.
Joel Pearl, that's right.
Yeah. So probably one of the most inexperienced of the group, but again, you got to get there. It doesn't matter who you face. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a tough round one series, and I don't want to say they're looking ahead, but they would be looking at Halifax for revenge no matter who they play, because they want to get past and get into the third round. Again, thank you for your question, Michelle. Again, if anybody wants to be part of the show, ask us a question. Just send us a note on any of our social medias, and we'll make it happen. Let's get some news and notes from around the queue.
News and notes from around the queue.
Another week, another set of suspensions for Moncton Wildcat players. This week, Vincent Collard was suspended 2 games for his high stick. So he missed the Cape Breton game on Saturday. He'll miss tonight against St. John. As well, Ryan Hackett was given 2 games for the aggressor penalty on Saturday against the Eagles. So he will miss tonight and Saturday against the Islanders. We have the second set of rankings from the CSR list, which, again, you were putting some names together. Some names familiar to the Flyers fans on that. Jacob Gucci, Zach Gill. So as the draft guru, I asked you this beforehand. Any real surprises? I know there's a lot of, like, the way they rank them, A and B prospects, mm-hmm. but is there any real surprises on this list or guys that you should be an A and RB or anything like that?
So one thing I will say is the players who are the draft eligible guys who are playing outside of territory are some names that really need to watch for.
So outside of the territory, you mean for the fans?
So we're talking, like, you know, players from Quebec, New Brunswick, PEI, Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, who are playing outside of that territory. Okay. So, I mean, they're playing in Ontario or they're playing in the States.
Like Landon Sim, who's from Ontario, but he was playing last year in Weeks.
Yes, right? But he was OHL eligible because his dad played in the league.
Yeah.
So when I, a couple names, like when I, there's a long name that I can't put my mind to it right now. I only know of him because I know he plays for the Barrie Colts. U16.
Yeah. Okay.
But he's got like 2 hyphenated first names and 2 hyphenated last names.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm trying to, that's the only way I can remember him. Now if I can go in these notes here, where do you find these? Is this on the Q website? Website?
Yeah.
Under main page. Okay.
And then just scroll over.
Oh, scroll over. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's Maddox Dagenet, who. We're going here. They're not there. That's okay. Anyways, Maddox Dagenet is a name that some Wildcats fans will could potentially recognize. His dad, Pierre,
mm-hmm.
Was actually a member of the Moncton Alpines. He was a member of the inaugural Moncton Wildcats as well.
Okay.
I believe he was traded midway through the inaugural Wildcat season, I think to Bathurst. I can't, or Laval. I'm not sure if they were. No, they wouldn't have been in here yet. So it would have been. He would have been traded to Laval. Another name is Tristan Venn. I think it's Venne. I think that's how it's pronounced. Venn. So these are 2 guys that are from Quebec that are playing in Ontario.
Yeah, there he is, Halton. 5'7", 144 from Halton. Tristan Venn.
Christian Van, that's the one, yeah. And I can't, man, I really wish this defenseman would, he's Barrie Colts, U16. I wish I had the list because I would, it's like I said, 2 hyphenated first names.
Under 16 team, AAA?
I believe so, yeah. 2 hyphenated first names, 2 hyphenated last names, big, big defenseman. He's another one that's garnering some attention. And I'm actually surprised he was on as a B. I think he was rated a B. Oh, I think he just passed him. Alexandro Lemieux-Goupil?
Goupil. Yeah,
I think that's him. I'm pretty sure that's him. Is he on the list? I should say Bear. Just control F, Barrie Colts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Emile Alexandre Goupil Lemieux.
That's right. Lemieux Goupil. Yeah. So two hyphenated first names, two hyphenated last names.
6 foot 173.
Yeah. Great shot defenseman, I think, as well. So, and like I said, I only know him because he plays for Barrie Colts, U16. Yeah. So it's the list itself is pretty accurate. I was actually surprised. I didn't think Zach Gill was having that great of a season, but statistically, he had more points than Gucci. I had no idea. You know, I thought Gucci was averaging like 1 or 2 points a game, and here's Zach Gill with more points. So I was surprised. And
DeCourcy said, "What are the odds you get three guys, three right-hand shot defensemen, same household that have an impact?"
Yeah, and you look Halifax Max. I think they have 4 or 5 players rated as A's or B's. I mean, it's unbelievable how good of a season they had for being such a young organization. So it's gonna be a very good draft. I think I got Chip Walters.
Yeah, Aaron Chip.
I'm missing an obvious one. Chip Walters.
Jacob Hartland.
They got a bunch of these guys. It's crazy how many eligible players they have.
Yeah.
But no, it's going to be a good draft.
They got 5 on this list. Daniel Walters.
Walters, yeah.
Will Shearer.
Yeah.
Agnes Proctor.
And Chip.
Chip and
There's one more.
Harlan.
Yep. So it's crazy. Five draft eligible guys that are probably going to be off the board by the end of the third round. And they had a record-breaking season.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. But no, you get... okay, Brighton's going to have a top pick. St. John... So we'll have a top pick, potentially
just got two. So that's my question for you, and I made you put your GM hat on.
Yeah.
You're in the lottery. You're St. John. You got the 2nd and 5th pick. You didn't win because we're not going to give you a win. 2nd and 5th pick.
So if St. John's 2nd, does that mean Cape Breton wins the lottery, or is Valdor winning the lottery?
Valdor's winning the lottery. Okay. We'll give Valdor the lottery. I was looking on the boards when I found the list when I showed it to you because I thought, hey, I found draft stuff for Jeremy. I feel cool. And then I found it on the actual league website. Somebody said if they had the number one pick, they were taking Dylan Rossi.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's what you agree with, but for argument's sake, Dylan Rossi's off the board.
Yep.
So you're at 2 with St. John.
So for one thing, will Dylan Rossi report to Valdor?
Yeah.
That's the main thing. And they have not had the greatest luck, you know, with the Lac Saint Louis guys.
Right.
Or the Maritime guys.
Is he your number one?
Tynan Lawrence is my number one. Dylan Rossi is probably my number two.
Okay. I just assumed Tynan.
Yeah, but I mean, at this point right now, believe it or not, Valdor will have 1 and 2 because they have Quebec's pick as well.
Oh, they do too. Yeah.
So they could have 1st and 2nd overall. Believe it or not. Now, do they go and take a player that might not report and then just say, who wants them?
Yeah.
Make us an offer.
Yep.
I don't think they would do that first. Mm-hmm. They might do that second.
Which when you have 1-2, you have the luxury of taking the guy that you know will show up and then the guy that might show up and say, who has an offer?
Well, that's it. Now, if you go to St. John... Or you go to Cape Breton, because Cape Breton has St. John's pick, and St. John has Gatineau's pick. Now, St. John, as of right now, their 2nd pick wouldn't be a lottery, because it's Blainville. Okay. Right? So at this point, I think I kind of did this up right. They would have, St. John would have...
4 and 7,
based on what I can see.
Right.
So... I think, you know, St. John is a team that anybody would report to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best available defenseman is also playing outside of the territory. Played for Canada at the World Youth Olympic Games, Cameron Chartrand. I think he's a player that St. John will most definitely have their eyes on. Offensive defenseman, right shot, I believe. With their 7th pick, it's at this point, it kind of drops off after 5, from what I've heard. So it's beyond me. If they take a defenseman with their first pick, they're likely going to take a forward with their second pick. Okay, Brighton's the one that's kind of interesting me. Because they've seen, from what I've heard to the grapevine, they've had a few guys, a lot of their scouts, at Lac Saint-Louis games as of recent. Which leads me to believe that they're zeroing in on Rossi or his teammate, William Yared.
Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't. You read that here.
I got you.
So funny story about Yared. He actually learned how to skate in Dubai.
Wouldn't think there'd be ice there to skate on.
At the only rink in Dubai.
Oh, yeah.
At the mall.
Really?
Yeah.
West Edmonton Mall style. I like
that. Yeah. So I think Cape Breton will have their eye on Rossi or Yared. And then I think it all comes down to lottery.
Yeah.
You know, if Valdor ends up with 1 and 2, it could take a huge turn. Because, you know, again, like I said, not a lot of Lac Saint-Louis guys or Maritime guys will go there.
Yeah, and if Valdor can get 1 and 2 and do what Gatineau did with 1 and 2, which it's a little easier to get people to report to Gatineau than it is mm-hmm. Valdor, but yep. if you can do that, that can expedite your rebuild. So during the Moncktonian, when I was calling games with Mike, you were up there and you guys were talking defensemen, and mm-hmm. and Bat Childer and Gucci were kind of the 1-2 defenseman-wise. Would you have a number in mind that you think they're in? Is it top 10? Obviously, they would probably be both first rounders, I would assume. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. do you have a range where those two would go, and kind of maybe which one would go one, or like not one, but first out of those two? Or is it just basically style of team?
Yeah. So I think Gucci will be top 10. If Gucci goes, you know, honestly, I think if Gucci is picked first, Batchelder is probably the next player picked,
right.
or vice versa.
Yeah.
If Batchelder goes first, I think Gucci goes right after. And so they're probably in that 8 to 12 range, give or take.
Because I was thinking St. John would do just what Halifax did when they had our first round picks, where they took Dylan McKinnon.
Yeah.
Took a Moncton Flyer, you know, our backyard guy as a rivalry, so they would end up taking a big 6-foot, 200-pound defenseman that doesn't have a lot of holes in his game. I see St. John. If they're at 7, I could see that number there.
Yeah, that's a very good possibility. You know, if they go forward with pick for them or with their first pick, I think they could probably go defenseman. And I think they could probably get lucky too if they've had their share of luck winning the lottery. There was that year they had the worst odds and ended up winning it. I think I could easily see something like that happening. Gucci, you know, Zach Gill, I think you got to look at connections. You know, you look at somehow Rennaranda still has their first round pick after all the trades they made. Yeah. You know, there's the brotherly connection there with his brother Dylan suiting up for Ren. I think Zach Gill would be a good fit.
Where's Blainville?
Blainville, well, St. John has Blainville's pick at 7. Yeah. So you got to look at connections there. And I think it's almost like a perfect fit. You know, Rimouski at 12, you could say, you know, get the Gill brothers in Rimouski for Memorial Cup year.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, Rimouski's not going to have that pick. That's probably going to Halifax or Cataford. Didn't hear it here first.
Or it's going to Drummondville for Gauthier.
Another possibility. So it's, you know, there's going to be lots of room. I think we're in for a very long first round, my friend.
Yeah. But hey, it's on Friday night.
That's
and
right.
It's here. We don't have to travel for it. It just sucks that we don't have a pick, but hey, I think we'll be happy when we walk out of the Avenir Center.
Well, you
on
know,
June 7th.
Richie said the other day, there's no pick as of yet were his exact words. So
exactly. So yeah. I think Moncton fans will be happy when they walk out of that building June 7th. But that was fun to talk draft.
Mm.
A little early, but...
Did you know we're 3 months away?
Yeah, that's why I figured that's a perfect time for them to bring that list out. It's almost like they're like, you know what, let's help these guys out. Let's get the list out so they can kind of talk about it.
I like the... I doubt we'll get them, but you know how we've had the father-sons, the father-and-sons picks...
Yeah.
recently. Obviously, Maddox Dejanay would be look great in a Wildcats jersey, and for potentially a later pick down the road, Malik Vigneault, Alexandre Vigneault's son, playing in Maryland this year. So another one that's out of territory. You know, you look at that picture from training camp this year, whether it was how many father sons, five or six at least.
Six, I think, yeah.
And you have the potential. I those are the only two I know, but there's a potential to make it eight by the time next August rolls around.
When is our first pick? The third round?
We have two seconds.
2 seconds, okay.
So like Richie said, those 2 seconds could easily become a first,
yep,
if you make the right deal.
Yeah.
That's why he says as of yet. I think if they have a player in mind
and he's dropping,
yep, they'll make a move.
Yeah. And hey, we've had a lot of success recently with, if we can't get into that first round, some early second round picks, yep, through that. So all right, well, that was good to talk draft. Let's talk about our team.
Oh, so there's stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Weekly Rewind.
Oh, and I just hit the button before that because I got the team of the week.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I completely forgot about the team of the week.
I was going to continue with the tradition of we always play a team, and one or two of their players always makes the team of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so before we do the weekly rerun, I'm not going to play the thing again. We'll go through the team of the week. We got forwards Justin Gill from Baie-Comeau, 3 games, 1 goal, 7 assists. Alex Gardio from Gatineau, 3 games, 4 goals, 3 assists. Justin Poirier, 3 games, 5 goals, 1 assist. Vaslav Komarov from Drummondville, 2 games, 3 goals, 4 assists. Jeremy Langlois from the Huskies, 2 games, no goals, 5 assists. And Matthias Rousseau from Halifax was 2-1 with a 9.68 save percentage and a 1 goals against average. The player of the week was Vaslav Komarov, at Drummondville. Just easily the best defenseman in the league right now.
Just call him Slava.
Yeah, Slava. You had the players of the month for February. Forward of the month was Maxime Massé for Chicoutimi, who didn't lose a game all month. He had 17 points, 9 goals, 8 assists in those 10 games. Honorable mention went to Anton Barreau. In the 10 games, he had 19 points, 4 goals, 15 assists. Defenseman of the month, Brady Schultz from Halifax, 13 games, 4 goals, 13 assists, 17 points. Honorable mention, Komarov from Drummondville, 2 goals, 10 assists for 12 points in those 12 games. Goaltender of the month, Remy DeLaFontaine, again, 8-0 as Chicoutimi just rolled through the month of February, getting themselves into a good playoff spot there. 1.53 goals against average, 9.45 save percentage, and 1 shutout. Charles Edward Gravel from Baie-Comeau, 7-1-0-1, 1.86 goals against average. Rookie of the month was the Sump Pump, Julius Sumpf, a franchise record tying 18 points in the month of February in 13 games, 6 goals, 12 assists. And the honorable mention, Xavier Villeneuve from the Armada, 11 games, 13 points, 1 goal, 12 assists. As well as, I believe, the Scholastic Player of the Month for Moncton was Sean
Nerd.
All right, now we get into our team. The Wildcats go 1-1 on the week, bringing the record to 33-19-4-3 for 73 points on the season. Good enough to clinch. I forgot to delete that note. Second in the Maritimes, third in the conference, which gives us a playoff series against the Eagles right now. Thursday, another Thursday game, another Thursday loss to a top four team. They go down 5-1 to Baie-Comeau. This was a loss that I was okay with. This was a different team in a loss. There was more of a forecheck. There was a D zone. There was limited turnover. Other than Malofsky walking right by us for 2 goals, everything else, the team looked different without Lacroix behind the bench against Baie-Comeau.
I'm glad you said it. it's not like a certain defenseman on our team didn't make it obvious in his post-game interview. Anyways. Yeah, different playing style, more structure. You pointed this out to me because I didn't go to the Thursday game.
Yep.
But you pointed this out to me on Saturday night where the players are actually standing up at the beginning of periods and banging their sticks and stuff on the boards.
It's more communication behind the bench. More three coaches.
Yep.
Heptage, Tessier, and Antoine Samuel.
Yeah, it's just you don't see that, you know, with Lacroix behind the bench. You know, these players, the opposing teams are always up on the on their benches banging their sticks, and it's like a library.
Yeah.
on the Wildcats bench. There's no excitement to play. Nothing. Nobody's getting up for these games and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, there's you could tell there was a different voice in behind the bench and in the room.
And you could see it in the first period. I mean, Moncton hung around. I think it was 1-0 after 20 minutes. Like, they hung around right with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have the schedule up. But eventually, Baycomo took over in their first game of the 3-3. But again, to your point, you feel good about a second round matchup with Baycomo. And they lost 6-3. They lost 5-1. But they've been in both... been in both games, especially the one on the road. They were tied 3-3 through most of it, mm-hmm. and they just couldn't get the next one. Again, our Thursday situation, we have one more game left against Cape Breton, but it's not good. We are 3-6 on Thursdays, and we have been outscored 46-27.
Wow, that's double. Yeah,
it's crazy just how it's gone on the Thursday nights. So again, with this schedule coming down a little bit, let's release these Thursday night games because we are not fans of them at all. And you look at against the preseason contenders, Halifax, Ren, Victo, and Baycomo. We're 5-10 and been outscored 71-48.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And love it.
Sadly, three of those five wins have been against... Nope. Four of those five wins have been against Halifax.
Unreal.
The only other one we beat was Rennes to 6-5 here. So a little worrisome when you get to the third round. But, hey, let's just get there first. Let's focus on that, and who knows what can happen. Saturday night, a first-round preview as the Eagles came to town. The Wildcats, like we've asked many a times, they started fast. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the last time we had two goals in under 5 minutes. And I think that was your point when I mentioned that to you. They started fast all game. They didn't let up. It had the makings of a playoff series. Unfortunately, not a lot of people were in the building to see it. But a 5-2 win.
More people than I thought.
Yeah.
They got 4,400.
Was it 40? Was it that many?
4,422, I think it was.
4,422. All right. Yeah. There was more people there than there was against Baycomo, I guess. Oh, it didn't feel like it was that.
No, it didn't. But there was some groups there.
Yeah. But again, what they took from the Baycomo game, that team played exactly like that against Cape Breton and won this one.
Yeah, has Dan LaCroix got any more daughters to get married here? Or
yeah, when are you back?
Yeah, are you gonna be around on Wednesday? Are you, or
I think so.
I'll stamp your extended vacation.
And that's what I wanted to bring up when we get into the preview: is what is this team gonna look like?
Join your daughter on her honeymoon.
Yeah.
Take as much time off as they want.
Yeah, yeah. We're not the only ones saying it either.
No, we're not.
When we walked all over the, like, up in the press booth, when we walked around, when we walked down for the interviews post-game wise, everybody was saying the same thing.
Yep, yep. There's a different voice. You can tell the team is different. And it's obvious, you know. I don't know, maybe it was... Richie posted some nice videos on Instagram. I don't know if those were recent, but I don't know if he was around on Saturday night to see that performance. Too bad he wasn't, if he was. But
might have been watching on TV, but yeah.
There was a different vibe. Yeah. You know, there was there were 20-year-olds actually getting ice time where they deserved to have ice time.
Yep.
Three 20-year-olds were actually on the penalty kill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you notice that?
5-on-3, I did, yeah.
Did you notice that?
I did, yep.
All three 20-year-olds were out there killing a penalty.
Yep. Yeah, I can't remember if it was to start the penalty or what, but all three of them, I think it was to start it because Trent Holm won the faceoff,
yep.
I do believe. And he won the faceoff on one of the goals, too, I think. Yeah, he won the faceoff on the Mercier goal in the power play.
Yep.
He came out and won that faceoff.
Connor Trent won a power play? What?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So let's...
Now, again, we were missing, and that's the thing,
we were missing guys.
Four guys.
Yeah.
But you have to still use the guys in the right situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what he was doing. And this is why I feel like if we play Cape Breton in that round one, it'll be just like Baycomo, because they outhit us 22-8. They hit anything that moved. They put us all into the boards anytime they could.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to intimidate us, and credit the Wildcats, they pushed right back. But I think it'd be a tough 6-7 game series against this team, and it'd be tough to go into round two after taking on Cape Breton.
Well, that's it, and that's, I kind of want to avoid Cape Breton at all costs, and but at the same time, you can't really, you know, it's not like the PWHL where you get to pick your opponent.
Isn't that cool?
It's you gotta face the battles that you're given, and you know, if we're playing Cape Breton in the first round of the playoffs, well, you know, it's either we're gonna make Andrew Barrington cry, or he's gonna make us cry.
Yeah, one of the two.
That's the only way we can really put it.
Yeah, yeah, and luckily we'll have that first home series. But yeah, could you imagine it was like the QMJHL come out with a PWHL style? So Drummondville and Baie-Comeau, you're the first teams in each conference. You get to choose your first round opponent.
Moncton.
Yep. Yep. That's it's kind of cool. You get 48 hours to choose. Top four make it. 48 hours to choose their first round opponent. It's yeah, it's, they're doing a lot of good things there in the PWHL.
Bring me the jailbreaker rule.
Yes, that's a rule that
I like that.
Yeah, that needs to come as well. That,
I like it a lot.
Yeah, we haven't scored a lot of shorthanded goals, but it's you give that a chance, and I think it'd be a good success for the league in general. Now, I had a bit of a theory onto why maybe we don't have the best of home ice advantage in the 5 years that we've been in the Avenir Center. And I think it might come down to the fact that all the teams from Quebec use our rink to practice.
That is also true.
So there's literally no home. They all feel comfortable in that building. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it's like in Quebec if when they go on the road trips, if they just go city to city and use different rinks. But all the teams use it. Cape Breton's on their four-game road trip when the Worlds are there. They're going to be here in Moncton. They're going to be practicing in the building.
They're literally going to be living in Moncton.
Yeah, they're going to be living in Moncton for the 2 weeks. Like I think
that's a lot of Carrabba's.
Yeah, that is a lot of Carrabba's.
Yeah, they're living in Moncton for 2 weeks. Let's hope that credit card doesn't decline.
Yeah, that would be awfully awkward. But I mean, it has to have something to do with it because every team uses our rink, and I know teams have morning skates in it. But when you're coming through year after year and you're practicing on a 3-5-6 day road trip, and you're practicing at the Avenir Center. Well, of course you're going to feel comfortable there. You're going to know all the nooks and crannies. You're going to know everything about the rink. So, you know, I don't know if it's a league thing that you have to allow them to use your main rink that you're using, but hey, ship them to the Coliseum for practice. Make them set up there. Make them uncomfortable. Practice in that rink. Bring their stuff for the game. Maybe that might have something to do with the home ice advantage, but it's not the worst theory that I came up with the other day when I was thinking that because I drive to work and I always see the buses here every day when they're going to St. John, Charlottetown, Bathurst. They're using our rink, so they're comfortable in it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's common around the league.
Yep.
For the visiting team to use the, you know, the home ice of, yep, of the team they're playing for practice. You know, we see the Wildcats post road pictures sometimes, you know, morning skate here, morning skate there. So
the morning skate's fine, but the here for 2 weeks and using our rink all the time?
Well, if they're here for 2 weeks, I don't know if they'll be able to get the Avenir all the
time. Especially with TLC here.
That's right.
Yeah.
No scrubs.
Don't chase waterfalls, kids.
That's right. Don't go making phony calls. Please stick to the 7-digit number you're used to.
Well done. A little Weird Al.
Yeah.
I like that. $115 tickets for two of the three members that hasn't put up music. Anyways, I do think it's common in terms of morning skates, but it's just like I don't think teams don't feel comfortable here. They feel like it's their rink.
Well, the last thing I want to do is give them a home ice vibe.
Yeah.
I mean, you're playing the Mooseheads and you play Heave Away. I mean, you play in the Mooseheads and you play Money City Maniacs by Sloan.
Oh, that made me mad last year. Oh, I was hot.
Come on.
You show their fans. Yeah. You show Islanders fans. Like
just, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, that should be an immediate get your, you know, pack up your things and go.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah. Don't put their fans down by the boards or where they walk out. You want tickets from Halifax? Cool. Rows 14 to 18 and 119.
Row 26.
Yeah. Row 26 all the way around the top. One, two, nobody in sitting in front of everybody. Just that very last row. Yeah. Like, you know, because Halifax does that to us. They last time there was a fan bus, they put them way up in the second tier. So we got to stop giving other fans the respect be close to their team. Forget mm-hmm. that noise. Put them up in the top of the building.
Yep.
Make it our own. Change up something to make it our own, because there is a disconnect with how good this team is on the road and how not good this team is at home. It's just something's amiss.
We got to fix it. Yep. You know, it's you've got how many home games left?
Five.
You got five games to fix it.
Yep.
Make it happen.
Yeah, five at home.
Win them all.
Four on the road. So now we got a bit of a tough road trip. Charlottetown on Saturday at 7, and then a quick ferry ride over for a Halifax game at 3:00. Now they've had some success in Halifax, but this is where you want to continue to have that success in Halifax, because they're going to come here one more time to end the season series. So you don't want to end the season series with two losses mm-hmm. when you know it's the final month of the season. And you just know what you're going to get when you're playing Charlottetown.
Halton Hockey.
Who's fighting for a playoff spot.
Yeah, Halton Hockey. It's, they're going to make the playoffs.
They are.
You know, but no, you're right. They are, they'll probably be able to clinch with if they beat Moncton, they'll clinch for sure.
I think so.
What's Halifax's schedule look like this weekend? Are we catching them on a back to back or anything like that?
No, they play Friday. I don't even. Yeah, they play Bathurst Friday.
Okay. So.
And they're off Saturday and.
Great.
So.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So how do we play three games this week, and they play two, and we're still how many games behind them? Like how many games in hand? Mathematically.
Three.
Why in the sweet Lord do we play three games this week, and Halifax only plays two? Which means we're still going to be four games behind them?
No. We're three games behind.
No, three. So we have three games
in hand.
We
two games behind. Yeah, and we'll play one, so we'll have two, and then we'll even it out, so we'll have two games in hand on them at the end of the season.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What stupid.
It still doesn't make sense how we got there. I'm just trying to see what their schedule is compared to ours.
Did they have a game canceled in the season? Earlier in the year?
I don't think so.
So three games, so it'll be two. So it'll still be two.
Yep, still be two.
That's foolish. They only have six games left?
Yeah. Yeah, they play, They play on Friday. We play on the 10th. And then they don't play again till, they play on the 14th, same as us. And then they play on the 16th. And then we play on the 17th and the 20th to catch up. That's how. So the games against Cape Breton on March 17th and St. John on the 20th of March. Those are the two games we catch up on.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then everybody plays that final Friday, Saturday. So if you even, and they go Bathurst, us, Charlottetown, us, St. John. So it starts with beating them and getting some help. Again, if they can go winless, which I kind of highly doubt, but if they can go winless, we got to take care of what we can do. I assume Dume will be back for that game on Sunday.
Of course he will.
He's been skating. I mean, if I'm Halifax, I'm not playing him.
Why would you even play him?
I wouldn't play him until the 22nd, 23rd. Although I believe he's tied. I have heard he's tied for the goal record. So they want him to get one goal at home.
Oh, okay.
So you got three home games to play him in. Play him in one of those and then shut him down. Although, you kind of want to have him get some chemistry with whoever he's going to be playing with coming into the final week of the season. So I get it, but I mean, I wouldn't until the 14th. Like, play him a final home game against Charlottetown and then three on the road and be done.
Pretty much. Yep.
No point resting him if you're a Halifax fan, which we're not. So hopefully they shut him down for the rest of the games and just wait to the playoffs, right?
I don't think they'll do that.
No, but, I don't think they will, but.
No, it should be a good finish of the season. Like you said earlier in the show, man, it's nice to have so many games that are going to be meaningful.
Yes.
This, you know, this close to the end. And Speaking of the end, we got a bus trip, something to talk about?
Well, we do at the end of the show.
Oh, we're going to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
I thought we were going to do that sooner.
Well, you want to? We can do that sooner.
Yeah, well, I thought maybe bring it on. Yeah.
All right, we can talk about some good news. Good news after weeks and months and years.
I don't look at the schedule, so I don't know when these things are being brought up. So,
yeah. I used to send it to you, and you're like, I'll just show up. And I'm like, all right. Yeah, after weeks and months and years of asking and seeing other teams come through Moncton with buses, the Wildcats fans on Facebook is putting a bus together to finally go to another arena March 22nd in Bathurst. It's $55 a person, $25 deposit, and it will leave on that Friday at, what is it?
Are we 3 o'clock.
Three o'clock, yeah. So,
I just realized.
For whatever reason, I was not thinking that was the last game of the year.
No, it's not.
No.
We got a turnaround against Halifax?
No, we come back and we play Bathurst.
Home and home. Yeah,
home against Bathurst. So, yeah, March 22nd, the Wildcats fan group on Facebook, which is no longer the Booster Club, they've worked tirelessly to get this happening, and it's good to see it. Hopefully, all of you show up, sell the bus out. I mean, we might have more Wildcat fans if we take a bus than Bathurst fans, but...
that's a strong possibility.
It is a strong possibility, but it's just good to see a bus group getting together, putting it together, and hopefully this is a precursor and we can have a playoff one depending where the matchups are.
Yeah, you're right. A playoff one, I mean, I'm not too keen. God bless Scutamy, but not going to take time off work to go to Scutamy.
No, and that's a week because that'll be three games up
in
Scutamy.
Yeah, not going to take time off work for Scutamy. Love the people up there. Great people.
Yeah.
Not taking vacation.
No. Nope. And Cape Breton might be doable to take 2 days off.
I'll get to see that. Be amazed by the bridge thing that moves. I'll be even at elevated service.
Yeah.
Holy crap, the bridge!
Yeah, you'll be amazed of that in front of 60 people in a bus. Like,
do I see that? The bridge is moving! Let's go!
Yeah.
It was over here, now it's over here!
Yeah, going... It's funny, going back to our question from Michelle earlier, in a perfect world, you wouldn't mind Moncton starting on the road because it's the Easter weekend, so that road trip to Cape Breton, if it was Cape Breton or wherever,
yeah,
you could at least go to a couple games and come home for that Tuesday, Wednesday game 3 and 4, but I don't think that's going to happen. So, but again, if this is the precursor and it's full, maybe in round two we get one to go to Halifax. But if we see this more and more, and we have maybe three or four trips and one like short trips and one Quebec trip next year, it'll just be good to see that. Are you going to go? Maybe, possibly.
Thinking about it, yeah. I think it's for a lot to have a couple bevies.
Not driving, so why wouldn't you?
Bevies on the bus, and make some popcorn if they have a microwave.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, and. Watch two games where we hope no one gets hurt. Final two games of the year.
That's true, yeah. Send everybody out.
Yep.
Call
up the Flyers.
Call up Ben Lindsay and...
I know you weren't there Thursday, but DeCourcy was at the rink.
I did hear that.
He was on the bench during warm-ups. I was like, I thought he was actually going to be on the bench. I didn't think of Samuel on the
new
bench.
New coach!
I will say their play looks suspiciously like that other team that's really good in U18, where they're aggressive on the forecheck all the time, and they use transition to move defense to offense.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying he had anything to do with practices, but they look suspiciously like them.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's helping out with practice. That's what he was doing. So I like that. Very good. Very good observation.
Yeah.
Very good.
Not the worst.
No. It's back to your gadget.
Yeah. All right, you ready for everyone's favorite part of the show?
Oh, yeah. All right.
Eric Murray, realtor, buy a house from him. Stick Dap of the Week.
So this is the annual episode where it's a J-Bone appreciation.
Yeah.
Jonathan Henry bringing home another gold medal at the Special Olympics. Gold in... 777 speed skating. I'm not exactly sure.
So instead of like 500 meters or 1,000 meters, it's 777 meters.
I like that.
Yeah. I was talking to his mom about that. I was like, oh, is he in the 500, 1,000 sprint? He's like, nope, the 777. So I was like, all right.
There you go. I was not aware that there was 777. Very lucky number, obviously, for to win a gold medal. So, yeah, that's the seems to be an annual occurrence. What an athlete.
Yeah.
He always seems to get a stick tap of, I think it's, he probably has the, you know, there's like the friend of the show rankings.
Yeah.
Well, he probably has the stick tap of the week rankings.
Yeah.
He's probably at the top. So good for J-Bone. Congratulations, sir. And honorary stick tap. I don't know about you, Adam, but...
You're feeling 22?
Nope.
Nope, okay.
With the nice weather we had on the weekend.
Yep.
I'd like to give a shout-out to everyone who finally took down their Christmas decorations. Yep.
That was me, and fun fact, I didn't do it on Saturday. I did it on Sunday.
Yep.
Was yep. that directed at
that
me?
That makes two of us.
Yeah.
He took them down Saturday.
Yeah, we were going to take him down Saturday. We got stuck watching How to Get Away with Murder and then the hockey game. And then woke up Sunday and went, son of a, it's raining. And I waited till there was no rain. I was like, all right, this is our time. Let's go.
Let's take down the Christmas decorations because it's warm enough to do it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
The inflatables were still there. Yep.
Nice. That's all right. Finally, I made an honorary stick tap.
That's for you.
The stick tap of the week, sponsored by Eric Murray Real Estate with the RE/MAX Avante team. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the greater Moncton or surrounding area, make sure to check him out on social media or give him a call at 506-863-8802.
All right, and that brings us to the Wildcast Wildcat of the Week, presented by Rosemary Lynn Massage and Spa, where right now till March 23rd, you get a shellac pedicure and a shellac manicure for only $65. Again, don't forget they have the loyalty card where you book 9 spa services, you get one free. If you want to take advantage of this and have a chance to win a $100 gift card, call to book your appointment at 506-830-1224 or book with them in person at 1224 Mountain Road in the month of March. That's how you're eligible for that $100 gift card. Well, I mean, he played a game and a half this past week, but he continued to put up points, continuing off his success as Rookie of the Month in February and a goal and an assist in the two games. Like I said, Rookie of the Month, you can tell he's getting more comfortable on the ice. He's taken off in the second half. And as much as the MCL line was cooking, which I think at some point, maybe closer to the playoffs, you see that line come back together. Kollard on his line has gotten him going. They've mm-hmm. got good chemistry off those two. They're able to find each other. So your Wildcat of the week is the Sumpf Pump, number 26, Julius Sumpf. And this is the part of the show where you say something good about your wife or something nice.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yes. So my wife approached me and she said, Adam always says something nice about Layla every episode. You never say anything about me. Well, lovely woman, you are, like I said, a lovely woman. And thank you for putting up with my shit in more ways than one.
Yeah.
And to my daughter as well, she wanted me to say that she just wanted me to mention her name. She's like, you can call me stupid if you want to. I'm not going to call you that. But
she says you have to mention her name, yet you talk about her all the time.
Yeah, that's it.
We
right?
ask about her first day of school, yeah. ask about her Halloween, ask about the puppy.
No,
how's puppy going?
I was going to bring that up. The lovely wife held down the fort last week when when I was on my scouting mission.
Yeah.
She took care of Avery and the two dogs and couldn't have done a better job because... Man, that puppy is bigger.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. Like, it's crazy the difference in size from 10 days ago.
Wow.
Like, I can feel it, the weight. Like, I used to be able to hold him in my paw,
yeah,
my palm. Now I need two hands.
Oh, really?
Like, he's grown exponentially in a week, and it's crazy how, like, it's... I couldn't believe when I saw him on Friday night... how much bigger he was compared to when I left 5 days before. That's going to be a big ass boy.
Yeah, that is going to be a good thing you got a bigger house.
That's a thick boy.
Imagine having that puppy in your little condo.
Oh, my God.
That would be an adventure. As well, again, they're not paying me to say this, but commit to win. The playoff packages.
Hey, Adam, why don't you say the French one?
Engage a gagné.
Was that close? Engage a gagné.
Ah, I got the a gagné part.
Because you know Sam Gagné.
Sam Gagné. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I was like, hey, that's Gegner. That's Sam Gagné. The playoff packages are available. They were at the concourse for the past five home games, but now I believe the cutoff has passed. So, yeah. So if you still want playoff packages for your seats, or you just want to continue to get playoff packages for the year, email them at info@monktonwildcats.com or contact Isaac Sprague at 506-858-2253 to commit to win.
Any relation to Blue Jays legend Ed Sprague?
I don't believe so. We can ask him next time we see him. But yeah, no, I don't think so. It'll be interesting to see how the playoffs look this year with in terms of fans. I really like what Cape Breton's doing with the, first of all, the slogan "We Fly Together." Mm-hmm. Perfect.
That's
mint. Absolutely wonderful.
It's that's all it takes.
Yeah,
right. That's all it takes is something as simple as that. Marketing 101 right there.
And I bet you that will be their slogan forever. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of changing it every year. Go with a hashtag, stick with it, so that when you look back, you don't have to try and remember what your playoff slogan was 3 mm-hmm. years ago. If you want to look up a tweet, you can just look up, keep it the same. That's how hashtags grow.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they're doing a whiteout, which, again, just a simple little thing. Fans are prepaying T-shirts. I would think that teams would do that on their own shirts for everyone. But, hey, maybe they are. They just want to see people buy their own first. But just a cool thing. I would like to see, I said to you before we started, I would have liked, I'm not a fan of the whiteout and the black jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Winnipeg does it, too. They have the whiteout and then they have the blue jerseys, because when they started it, the NHL was white jerseys at home. But I think it would have been cool if they would have gone yellow. Like wore their third jerseys and had yellow in the crowd. That's just something completely different. It would look very cool on the TV. But come on, Moncton, you're going back to red. Red shirts. Red.
At the same time, like a bunch of yellow shirts in the crowd would look like a giant piss stain.
That is true. And maybe that's why they didn't go with it. Yeah. I didn't think about that. But yeah. Yeah, good call. That wouldn't probably look the
best.
There
would be too many jokes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially if they come out and got beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not great. But I hope Moncton has something for the playoffs. I know that I think I had a...
Well, we got something. We got a commitment to win.
We do have a commitment to win, which is all that matters. Because if you look at the playoff in 2019 and this last year, regular season was 4,500 average. Round one last year was 3,207, and the playoff total average was 3,508. So $1,000, 1,000 less people in that building. And in 2019, the average was 5,148. And round one was 3,877, and round two, and the playoff total was 4,100. And both those playoffs were against Baie-Comeau and then Halifax. That's the only thing that brought those numbers up a little bit, is Halifax came in round two. So like I said earlier, I think the team would like Cape Breton, so you have that instant rivalry for round one. But again, I've said it many times, season tickets should include game one and two of the home game one and two, so that your building is full for those first two games. And then if your team continues to win, it looks good, and people buy the tickets or allow people to trade their unused tickets in, so the building's full, because this building's going to have about 5,500 people in it, I bet, for the next month, and just drops right off.
Yeah, there definitely needs to be something done there. It's the last thing I want to see is an empty building in the playoffs. Yeah. Because you lose all your corporates, right?
Yep, that's pretty much, once they lose the corporate sponsorship, the free tickets that the corporate giveaway go out the window. So
yeah, so you have to find a way to get those corporate folks back into the building for the first couple of games.
Yep, or now that the season ticket holders are done, come back with a general admission ticket for all the games or something. And also on the road, the Lounsbury Lounge in the Avenir Center.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you mentioned that. That would be a good idea. Have the road games playing in the Lounsbury Lounge for season ticket holders and media. I think that would have the bar open, have some food. You're not gonna get every season ticket holder.
No.
You might, but you could probably get a good 100, 200 people in there for a road game.
Yeah.
Make it your watch party.
Yeah.
You know? And if you want to do have that for season ticket holders, and then one at a bar for, you know, for fans,
yeah,
right. It's there's doesn't take much to do that.
No, I don't think we're gonna do it again. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah. But,
it's tough when you go to bars because you kind of alienate some of the fans with kids. But I think that would be a perfect scenario to when they're on the road. Come through door 6, go up the elevator. You're right there. That's all that's open in the whole building. It's got washrooms in there.
Mm-hmm.
The suites aren't open up top above the stairs. And you got the 4 screens there to allow your season ticket holders to watch the games while they're on the road. So I think that would be a wonderful little playoff edition idea for watching the team on the road. Other than that, guys, enjoy the road trip. Jeremy, you have a great week.
We'll see you.
For Jeremy, I'm Adam. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.